By taking the battle to rural-based insurgents, the Army hoped to gain the initiative, pressuring the enemy at a time and place of its choosing, rather than simply trying to catch suicide bombers as they drove into the capital. Despite its proximity to the city, this area had been visited surprisingly infrequently by U.S. troops over the previous 3 years, one of the chronic side effects of the relative lack of forces. As late as early 2006, there would be pockets within an hour's drive of the capital where the U.S. military had never operated and where there still were no-go areas for U.S. troops. The roads were heavily seeded with bombs. Colonel Abel said a defensive belt akin to a minefield protected the insurgents' safe havens and car bomb factories along the Euphrates Valley. Following classic counterinsurgency doctrine, he didn't want to take areas and then leave them, so he moved his forces slowly, first establishing a checkpoint, then conducting patrols to study the area and its people, and then, after a spell, he pushed his front line half a mile forward and put up another checkpoint. That slow-motion tactic was probably the right approach, but it was a frustrating way for soldiers to wage war. On one typical day, there were 24 significant acts, small arms attacks, bombings, and other noteworthy events, recorded in one relatively small part of Abel's area of operations. At the medics station in Patrol Base Swamp, which, with its bare cots and hanging light bulbs, felt like a scene from World War II, three soldiers of the 101st said they loathed their time at the base, especially since the death of a beloved squad leader a week earlier. "It's like trying to track down a bunch of ghosts," said Sergeant Chad Wendell, sitting on an Army cot under a window frame shielded by an Army blanket. Pursuing this sort of measured campaign also raised the question of whether the political clock would run out on the effort, either in Iraq or in the United States, before the American military and its Iraqi allies could become effective in large parts of the country. "That's what I worry about," said Army Lieutenant General Peter Chiarelli, the number 2 U.S. commander in Iraq. Despite the major changes in the U.S. approach, two huge questions hung over the U.S. effort at the end of 2005. Foremost was the question of whether the situation had spun out of U.S. control as Iraq moved toward a civil war. That, in turn, raised the question of whether Iraqi forces believed they were training to put down an insurgency or preparing to fight a conflict that would pit pro-Iranian Shiite Iraqis against largely Sunni anti-Iranian Iraqis. In an ominous sign of the growing rift within Iraqi security forces, the first thing an Iraqi Army battalion staff officer did, as he briefed a reporter, was denounce the Iraqi police and its leaders at the Shiite-dominated Interior Ministry. "The Army doesn't like the Ministry of Interior," he began, as other Iraqi officers listened approvingly. "The people don't like the police either." Former Iraqi officers from Hussein's era began flocking to join the new army, fanning Shiite fears that parts of the army were becoming the anti-Iranian force that would square off against the pro-Iranian National Police, who were armed nearly as heavily. In some ways, the U.S. military was beginning to feel irrelevant. In the capital, the biggest difference from 2 or 3 years earlier was the near total absence of U.S. troops on its streets. In a major gamble, the city largely has been turned over to Iraqi police and army troops, but they appear to be having little effect in bringing security to the city, where murder, kidnapping, rape, robbery, and bombing was rampant. As one U.S. major put it, Baghdad resembled a pure Hobbesian state, where all are at war against all others, and in which any security is self-provided. There is a total lack of security in the streets, partly because of the insurgents, partly because of criminals, and partly because the security forces can be dangerous to Iraqi citizens too, said Army Reserve Captain A. Heather Coyne, an outspoken former White House counterterrorism official who served in Iraq for almost 3 years, first for a year in her military role and then as part of a non-governmental effort to develop Iraqi civilian leaders. After 3 years, she was going home, despairing of the American effort in Iraq. "I'm heartbroken," she said. "I had great expectations for this. We never got to the hard stuff. We did the easy stuff so badly."